presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
My name's Matthew. I'm in Dad Joke Recovery Program. Now, I've never really written a testimony or anything like this, so I hope it's on target. I did ask Paul for some feedback, and he basically said, cut it down. And that was it, so it mustn't have been too bad in the end. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "And if somebody asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." Turns out saying, "Because my parents made me," it's not really a good answer. I had often had issues with testimonies, people asking me, share my story. I've often felt like I've got no story because saying, "I've always been to church," is not much of a story. After saying that, I wrote out my speech. It was about 45 minutes. And like I said, Paul said to cut it down. So I don't have an amazing God life-changing experience where there was no other explanation for God or where God talked to me and I went left instead of right. No reason, and my life was saved. I was not given the gift of something overnight with no practice, or I never saw or heard him in an amazing experience. In case I have not already humble bragged to you, like it's something that I achieved, I was brought up in the Uniting Church. My great-grandfather was a reverend, that's a minister, in the Methodist. My grandmother was a pastor in the Uniting Church. My other grandparents were active in the Presbyterian Church in Ballina. They even helped a place called Camp Drew in Far North. They have ads on Vision, you may have heard it. Both my parents are reverends in the Uniting Church. Depending on the location, we would look after 2 to 6 churches, and I'd often go 2 or 3 churches every Sunday, 8 a.m., 10 a.m., 6 p.m., for example. Now, you might think, just like everyone in my school and everyone in the churches that my parents preached at, I would know every book of the Bible, the whole bloodline from Adam to Jesus, be confident in my faith, and my future career is already picked out, and I'm going to heaven no matter what. And honestly, I don't know, about 7 years ago, I really thought I knew it all. Well, at least I acted it anyway. And that was my identity. I grew up in the church, my parents are ministers, Jesus forgives, so I can't do any wrong. I believed in Jesus, and that he died and came back. Everything else is pointless detail, and that is the only reason we have different churches. Going back to my childhood, while Mum and Dad would often read us books before bed when we were kids, when we were young, and some would be Bible stories. That was about it. My siblings and I were never baptized. That was always told that was our choice. We never had Bible studies, no Bible verses around the house. Never really talked about it. We did not even have Christian music in the house. Didn't even know that was a thing. Unless Mum was singing and picking out hymns for the next Sunday, that was the only time I'd hear Christian music. And my life was nothing like the show Seventh Heaven, even though I secretly wanted it to be. Don't get me wrong, it's not like we're living an anti-Christian life 6 days a week. In fact, it felt a lot more strict than my friends when it came to shows, music, etc. I knew some Bible facts, like there were not 3 wise men, it just says wise men. They bought 3 gifts. I knew it took 2 years to get there. I knew there was no donkey. And no many common sayings, like money is the root of all evil, God helps those who help themselves, and God closes a door when he opens a window, is not biblical at all. It has nothing about, it's not in the Bible. Nothing was said to me about reading the Bible outside of church, pray outside church, music outside of church, talking to God, hearing God talk back, talking in tongues, healing, asking for help or guidance or even relationships with God. I left home after high school, moved from Newcastle to the Gold Coast. Dad would call me up every Sunday night asking if I went to church. I was on shift work, so I couldn't get there every week, but I told myself I'm having long service leave. So after 6 months, I gave in. I found a Uniting Church, because that was the only true church, and they did a night service, so I could go to work in the morning and sleep, and or sleep if I had to, and join. I ended up joining a young adults group. I was still just going to Sundays churches on Sundays, going home, doing nothing, and thought it was all I needed to do. It's normal. That's the right thing. That's what God wants. But I did enjoy going to church. One day I was visiting my parents, and I tried to ask my dad one day, how do you know the Bible is real and not just a collection of novels or fan fictions based on the same storyline? Like they found one book in a capsule, like a Star Trek book, and just started writing stories around it. He slammed his fist on the table and he said, it's all true. Mum and I would not have wasted our lives for something that's not true. I didn't ask him any more questions. So like a doctor or an expert in the field, I just trusted them. You don't test the fuel at the servo to make sure it's the right octane level. You don't test the Panadol to make sure it's got the right amount of chemicals in them. You just trust them. Bibi and I got married. We moved to outback Queensland and I stopped going to church. Came up with my own set of rules for being a Christian, justify it. You don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Just follow the Ten Commandments. Believe Jesus is the Son of God. He died for your life. And hope you're nice enough to get into heaven. Nothing you can do but hope. Otherwise, you're playing God. It's not your call. 5 years of outback Queensland, moved to Darwin. And again, I did the same thing. Even though there were active churches in the area, I blamed work, couldn't go to church, just didn't go. We moved to Wyala and Bibi went church shopping. As soon as I walked into Bethel, it felt nice. It wasn't too small and dead, and the ground was flat, which was a big plus. I fell in love with the people and the place, and it felt calm and relaxed. I did worry about death a lot, and if I was going to heaven, and if it was real or made up. I kept telling myself these rules that I'd made up. Is it all a big made up thing, or is it somehow real that we know? I may have been 30, but I still felt like I needed parents' permission to change from family traditions. How could they be wrong? What is it? I don't understand. Bethel is not uniting, but it's okay. One Sunday, the Stotts were away, and Chris was preaching. Chris said something like, you can keep all the Ten Commandments perfect and still not get to heaven. I thought, that's not right. Chris, nah, that can't be right. And I could not shake the feeling that he was right. How was I wrong? I had no idea what to believe in. A Christian's right. Do not want to think my parents are wrong, but I never had an answer when I was asked, why do you believe in the Bible and Jesus? I just wanted someone to tell me why Christians are right and others are wrong. And why is CRC Bethel right, but others are wrong? I felt a mix of, I cannot ask. These are the questions that beginners should be asking, not people who've lived in their church the whole life. I've missed my chance. I reached out to some people that I felt confident in, and I was told, you're just having doubts, don't worry about it. Just read your Bible more. I can't tell you the correct answer. That's something you need to work out for yourself. Like, where do I even start? Then one of the few people I felt comfortable in left. Started his own church. What the heck's wrong with Bethel? What do I not see, understand? What's so bad that if it's bad enough for you to leave, shouldn't you be saving everybody else? And his answer was, oh, if it doesn't bother you, don't worry about it. Here I am trying to learn what's right and wrong. And, yeah. In the end, I ended up joining a couple of online colleges, doing ministry and Bible courses. Well, I did complete one. The others I just found really hard, confusing and overwhelming, and just end up pulling out. I kept coming to church, hoping God would help me with some sort of gift or skill or word. I wanted to be able to say I 100% know God. I have the confidence and the ability around me that I can hear from Him. It's sure Him. It's not my mind telling me what I want to hear. Something the world would see as an unexplainable gift and go, wow, that's amazing. Like talking in tongues. Something I've been told many times, just ask and it'll happen, by speakers, textbooks and teachers. It's really disheartening when something doesn't happen for me and it seems to happen for everybody else. What's wrong with me? What rules am I not following? Then I will know for 100% that God is real and He's happy with me. And while I still hope and pray for some kind of miracle, it took a long time, but I no longer worry about that as strongly anymore. And it's basically because one thing I read in my studies. I can't recall if it was in a textbook, a suggested reading, or if it was just some other random book that I picked up at the same time. When Jesus was on the cross, in the Gospel of Luke, there were other criminals next to him. One mocked him, and the other believed. And what did Jesus say? Thanks, but you don't speak in tongues, so tough luck. Oh, what a shame you weren't baptized before you got up here. Or even, hey, by the way, do you know any Bible verses? No, all Jesus said was, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And all he did was believe. Thank you.
Hello. Good morning, everyone. Sorry, I don't have a notes with me, so it would take me only probably a minute to say my story. good morning, everyone. So I have a request for everyone anyway. So remind me when I say something like a Bible verses in the Bible, could you please say it with me? Okay, because it's part of my story. Yeah, please remind me about these Bible verses. If you have your Bibles with you or electronic Bible, you can open it up. Or if you could memorize, I know most of you can memorize these verses with me. So just say it to me when I'm going to say it, okay? So, yeah, put information of everyone. So I came from the Philippines. So we moved here in Australia in year 2008. So when I was in the Philippines, I grew up like a religious boy, should I say, until I got a teenager. And usually people would say to me, who knows me, that I'm really a good person. I'm really a good boy. Something like that. Glory to me. So they would say like that. In fact, everyone would say to me, speaking spiritually, if anyone would look at me as a young boy, as a young person, would say, oh, this boy could really go to heaven because he's a good boy. Something like that. I was that good. And even I'm that religious as well. I've been going to churches, and there was in the Philippines we call that word barangay. I don't know if you're familiar with that. That we go to houses and then some saints, and then go to different houses. I go to that almost every day. I was that religious, aside from going to church every Sunday. Really, indeed, one would say, oh, that boy or that man will really go to heaven because he's that good. Well, nothing is bad about that, right? Being a good person, you would love a good person, whoever does not. But there's one problem. Even though how religious I was, deep in the night, this is a true story, believe me. Deep in the night, when I slept, I always think, what if God is not true? What if God doesn't exist? What if the world will fall apart? Talking about Cold War, nuclear war during these days. What if everything will be destroyed and everything will be laid bare? And what if there is no God at all? You know what? I couldn't sleep at night thinking about that. That's the end of humanity, wiping out. It's worse than even an atheist, you know that? It's worse than even an atheist. It came always, no matter how religious I was, how a good person I was, deep in the night, almost every night, I've been thinking about that. And it really kept me awake at night, having fear. That was my fear. In our song, that was my tomb. I wasn't alive at all, spiritually. What if God doesn't exist? Then, I get to high school, and then I get to college. Still the same thought. So, one day, it was in my third year in uni, college, we call it. So, there was a massive revival going on in the community, or in the university. So, my former classmates in high schools, they have some Bible studies, everything. So one of them shared the word of God to me. Well, he opened the Bible one to one. He shared the word to me. And the first word, the first verse that he shared to me was Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Can someone memorize it? For all have sinned and fall short the glory of God. No one exempted. No matter how good you are, how good I was, all have sinned and fall short the glory of God. And in the other verse it shared to me was Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Yes. Very good. Thank you, Pastor. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. It's not of your works. And of course, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Yes, correct. Yes. For we have been saved through faith, grace through faith, and not of your works, so that no one will boast. Yeah. After all those good things that you have done, while being religious, it's not about your works. It is by grace of God. It's not about your works. It is a free gift from God. So he shared me these things. And finally he shared to me John 3:16. I'm quite sure everyone can memorize this. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That was he shared to me the word of God. So he invited me to pray the sinner's prayer, you know that. And then showed to me that the eternal life can be made sure. And you know, to my surprise, I even asked him this question. Can we make it sure that we can go to heaven? That was my sure. Because I was thinking that we still have to do our works and works and works so that we can pass this mark and then go to heaven. That was my idea before. And they said to me, yes, of course. These are the words of God. This is what he said to you. You can be sure of, as long as you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have eternal life. It is just by faith, and it is not of your works. Then what's your decision? He told me, yeah, of course, I want to go to heaven. I would receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's it. And then we prayed together, and then I accepted Christ as Lord and my Savior on that day. I know what happens next. When I got home during those days, when I was reading the Bible, we got the Bible at home. So I read the Bible. The Bible, the words of God was very, very alive. It was very, very sweet. I couldn't forget that night that when I read that Bible, I kissed the Bible itself. That's how sweet it was for me when I read the Bible. And yet it is. It is really indeed, because Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says what? Oh, sorry. This is a test. Because Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says what? Very important. Everything is important. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates through your soul, your bones, or something like that. I could remember every word. But how it is, for me, that was really it. So, yeah, at that time, I accepted Lord and Savior. There are persecutions because some would say, you're already a very good man. Why change? They said, why change religion? Because back there in the Philippines, religion is something like a big thing. But later on, I mean, it's not about religion. It's about loving the Lord. It's the love of God. It's the loving the Lord. So after that, so I would probably say I became a Christian. But, you know, just like what I'm hearing for these stories that I've heard from our brothers and sisters, they have ups and downs in Christian life, up and then down. Same thing happened to me. So most of what I've heard is about emotionally down, but for me it's more than that. I broke my clavicle. Because, you know, I received Christ my Lord and Savior, but after that, it seems like nothing was happening, so there was a point in my life that I somewhat disregard God and somewhat put him not my priority, like a second priority, even not a priority at all. But, so I don't know. So I prefer playing basketball during Sunday than going to church. And I broke my clavicle while playing basketball one day. My right clavicle, the collarbone over here, so I broke that. And I was during my last year of uni during that days. And it was promising during that last year of my uni days because I was in a college basketball team. Very good. And I was top of the class during that time, the last uni days. But when I broke my clavicle, everything stopped. Even I was struggling in my uni days, last uni year. Even my friends, even my families told me, just stop for a year. And then just, to recuperate. Because it's not just complete fracture on my bone. It's a double fracture. And the middle part was somewhat twisted. So it was that worst. So, some advice, just stop for a year and then recuperate. I said, no, I'm just going to proceed. So I was in a sling going to school. And when taking a bath, mom used to assist me. And probably my mom said that I was really in despair. I was really depressed during the time because I was always touching my clavicle like this. And she told me that was a life-changing, actually. Son or anak, she said, "Anak, don't you have faith in God?" You know what? My mom was one of the persecutors, actually, for me because she hated. Because for me, being a born again is a change in religion. And most of the Filipinos up there, they don't like it. And she was one of them. But she was an instrument for me for that turnaround, actually. Don't you have faith in God? You know what? It revived everything. Probably, I don't know, some would say that, God wouldn't like you to be hard, of course. To be physically hard? Would that? No, probably not. But he allowed that thing to happen for me to turn around, to get back to him. Yeah. And after that, I started going to a campus outreach ministry. We had a church, just campus outreach, every Sunday afternoon. And after that, I kept going. Since then, I never turned back. So I finished my college, my university degree, and I got to work, and then I joined a church. God showed me a vision. I've been hopping around churches, real Christian churches, and God showed me a vision, and a dream that go to this church, and then I went, and it was my church from 1991, until we left for Australia in 2008. Yeah. It was in that church that God used me to be a Sunday school teacher and a young adult leader as well, young people leader. And it was in that church that I met my wife as well, Jaida. We used to teach in the Sunday school together. Yeah, but it takes time. So it took about, I've known her for 4 years before I, formally, ask her hand, should I say. because out of prayer as well from God. So, that's a turnaround point in my life till then. I never turned back from God. Although there are still like ups and downs, no, but just nothing. So I can feel how good God is. I know that dream that I'm telling you about, nothing. Even if I'm thinking about it now, it doesn't bother me at all because I know, and in God's word, indeed, that God is true, God is living, and what he did to my life, really, that I experienced, I can really say that God is really good, active, and he works on us. He's alive. I don't need to see him physically. I don't need probably, to see the Noah's Ark. I don't need to see the tabernacle. I don't need to see the, what was they carry before? David's Ark. The Ark of Covenant, the Ark of Noah's Ark. I don't need to see it. I got God's Word. It's living and active. I can feel his presence. I can feel that he is really alive in me. He had my life experience. And yeah, I know I will get to heaven someday because I believe in God. He died on the cross for me. He loves me. He loves you. He loves us. He died on the cross for us to be saved. Yeah, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, so that whosoever believes in him, and I really believe, will not perish but have everlasting life. Yeah, from then, I can see how God blesses me, from that turning point, since I graduated university, and I was never out of work. There was a recession happening in the Philippines. My first employment shut down because of recession, of competition, or market competition. But after that, straight away, not even a month, I got a new job again. And after that, so God blesses me, gave us an opportunity to come here to Australia. And I came here. Here we are. And even recession after recession, God is with me. He blesses me really. And then I never out of work. And he blesses me with two kids. Eli is one of them. Where's Eli? That's leading the worship. So for all you, for information of everyone, for those who don't me, Eli was my son. So and my other daughter is in Adelaide. So yeah. And all of this that's happened to me, there's one thing that I would like to share to you, and then what happened to me as well, what I have experienced about God. One thing for sure, God, Jesus, won't relent until he got you. If you are still an unbeliever today, for those of you who doesn't believe God yet or haven't received him right now, or even if you who are facing those downside in your Christian life, I'm telling you the truth. It's God's word, and it's happening to me. I experience it. God won't relent. He won't stop loving you. And he won't stop until you are back in his fold. He won't stop, no matter what. Even for me, I broke my clavicle. He has to do that just to get me back in his fold. Praise God. Thank you for that. Because you can't compare, life in Jesus, life in God is really a rewarding experience. You can't have that life in somewhere else. No matter how big is your sin is, if either your sin is up to the roof, or either your sin is up to the stars or to the suns, or out there to the universe, doesn't matter. God is waiting for you. I know God is always knocking at the door of your hearts. Revelation 3:20, last verse, promise. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I knock at the door of your heart," of your heart. "Whoever opens the door and let me in, I will dine with him and eat with him." No, God is always knocking the door of your heart. All we need to do is just open the door and we'll come in. As easy as that. I experienced that. I know most of you have experienced that. It's not of my works. It's God's work. He died on the cross for us. Just open your hearts to him, just like I did. I praise God that I did that. And God will come into you. Jesus will dine with you and have fellowship with you. that's my life story. Thank you.
Now, I'm 70 years old, so how do you put all that time into 10 minutes, 15 minutes? Yeah, something like that. So, I've got a lot to talk about, but I had to condense it down because Hayley said so. She even made me practice it at home. So I thought, I had to read it to my dog. So I thought, well, where do I start? And there were several things that came up. One of the things that surprisingly was, I feel abandoned. I felt abandoned as a child and I didn't feel loved as a child. Now, I know my parents loved me. So how did that come about? Well, let's go right back to the start. My dad, Hugh, and my mother, Jocelyn, were in Victoria, got married, and Dad got shifted over here to South Australia for work. And my mum had me, and then my sister, and then my dad packed up, put us all on a boat, and went to England, where he had my brother David and my sister Margaret. And then he packed us all up again after about 2 years and brought us back to Adelaide, where they had my sister Alison. Well, things would have gone on normally like that for sure, but my mum died. And I guess that's where the abandonment started. And my mum had a sister called Cynthia. And Cynthia came down. She was 22 years old. She'd been a missionary up in Croker's Island teaching Aboriginal children. And she came down to be with the family because his dad, he's got a very high-powered job. He's away a lot. And there are five children. And they had number six, my little sister, Rosalie. But Mum had to come into the home. And you can imagine that she's now living with her sister's husband, with her sister's children, in her sister's, doing everything her sister's place. So she obviously had problems with that too. She did a really good job trying to raise us all. Of course, they got married and went on a honeymoon and we all got farmed out. I've just been abandoned. Here I am abandoned again. They don't love me. Then I was in school, and while I was in school, I had to have eye operations. We wouldn't believe it, but my left eye disappeared, and I had to have it reset twice. And of course, when you're in hospital in those days, you don't get to have your mum and dad. You're just sent off to hospital, and you've got to stay there till you can come home. And that just added to it. And then the final one that I really remember was I was sitting on my little case in junior primary, year two. Everybody got called out to go up to high to the upper primary, and I was still sitting there. I'd been forgotten. I hadn't actually. They'd already decided I was going to do year two again, but nobody told me. And so I came to this world thinking, I'm not loved. And it took a lot to get over that. Now, my mum had been a Christian, a really good Christian, and she loved God. And she would put us all on the bed at night time, all five of us and six of us when Rosalie came, and we'd read the Bible, that comic Bible, and we'd pray and we'd learn the Lord's Prayer, and she'd try to get us to remember verses. So I had a good Christian upbringing, and there was no doubt that I was loved. But it's the lie that Satan tells you that somehow get into you and you think, you know, it's not true. It's not true, but it's there. In your mind, it's true. You believe it. Well, then my mum also decided that I wasn't good enough to go to a high school. They sent me to a tech school where I learned to do sewing and look after kids. I loved it, though. My mum also brought Alan into the fold. She went, did her good Christian thing, and the neighbour's son had a nasty motorbike accident. So she invited him up for tea one night, and I was at work, and I walked in, and there he was. Now, in case you don't know, Alan is my husband, was my husband. And we got talking, and I fell in love. And I decided I'm going to marry this guy. But then 2 weeks after we met, Alan said to me, I love you, Elizabeth, we're getting married. Now, I'd never been with a boy in my life. I hadn't even kissed anybody before. So it was, you can imagine, oh yeah, right, what? And then I realised God was saying, you can't marry him, he's not a Christian. So I said to him, I'm sorry, I can't marry you, you're not a Christian. Now, did that take courage? Because I didn't feel loved and I knew this boy loved me. Yes, it did. But he came to church. He found God. And he went home that night. And in his room, he had a visitation from God. And he knew God. Then he got baptized in the church where we were going. We were going to the Brethren at that time. And then we got married at the Brethren. And life seemed good. So now I'm not abandoned anymore. I'm loved. And I've still been going to the church and I'm involved with my God. But then Alan wasn't exactly the perfect husband. Tell me if there's ever a perfect husband, ladies. Oh, well done, Paul. So he went back to drinking. And Alan actually admitted that he was an alcoholic. So life got difficult for a while. We had four kids, four beautiful children. And I went off to college. Because one of the lies that God had told me is because Mum did everything for me, was I can't do anything for myself. So I can't do this. Now I've got Alan to look after me. I don't have to worry about it. But I wanted to do something and I knew God loved me. So Alan was prepared to stay home and he sent me to college. He looked after the kids as best he could and I went off to college and graduated as a teacher. And then we moved to Point Pass for a while and we had a wonderful pastor there, a Lutheran pastor, who was really full of the Holy Spirit and just blessed me with the teachings and really, really blessed me. And now I was up at night time, up in the daytime, really early, sitting down reading my Bible, studying God, really loved God. By this time, Alan had gone to AA and he'd found AA and he'd become involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that turned the tide. But the problem was the issue with him, alcohol was just to hide it. It wasn't what it was to us. Alcohol was the gift that he felt got him through his day. And unfortunately, when he got rid of it, he still had the problems. But I decided I was going to leave him and I thought, this is too much. I've had enough. I left him once before, but he came and found me before the kids came. And I was in the laundry one day. I've told this story to others. And I was deciding, I can't take this anymore, God. I've got to go. I've got to take the kids and go. And God very clearly pointed out to me that I've forgiven him, therefore there's nothing for you to be cross about, nothing to you to leave him for because I've forgiven him, it's nothing there. And it suddenly hit me, yeah, no, that's true, I can't do this. But the lie was I'd made my bed, I had to keep staying there. And that was the lie that God told me, that Satan had been weaving through my life. I made my bed, I have to stay there, I have to do it. Oh, okay, God, I'll stay. And then we moved here to Wyala, and Alan had a breakdown. He was gone for a long time, for about a week, and he used to ring home and threaten to kill himself. Yeah, and then he came home, and I had to take him back. And then he had another breakdown, and he was carted off to another hospital, and then he came back. But the story is, very gradually, he came to find God. But in this time, I lost my love. I didn't lose it completely. He was always there. But life got difficult. But the more difficult it got, the stronger I got. But something else happened. I became two people. Because another lie I had, because I couldn't do it, I can't do things. Oh, well, I can now. I've been to teachers' college. I can now go and be a teacher. And in fact, I became the director of a kindergarten here. But I had to be Elizabeth, Mrs. Jones, the kindergarten director. And then I had to go home and be Elizabeth, the wife. A completely separate people. So I was two people in one. And that's difficult to do. And I mean, I don't know whether you guys have ever had that situation in your life, but it is hard to do. And then just before I retired, Alan found out he had cancer and he died. And you know my first words were, I'm free. I'm free. Now, how could you say that? I love this man. But I'm now free to love God totally. But that wasn't the end of it. God had to deal with the lies. And he did it through music. I went out and bought a whole lot of music. Jenna Johnson's song, you know, Goodness of God, All My Life, You Have Been Faithful. Well, I was sitting there listening to that song and I looked back and I saw, there's God. He brought my mum Cynthia into my life so that I could find God. He brought Alan into my life. All the times he brought different people into my life, all the times. So I was never, ever alone. Never. And the other thing I learned was I don't have to rely on anybody. I don't need Alan. I don't need church. I do need God. There is nowhere in this world that I can go that God isn't. And believe me, I've tried. God helped me buy a van, a mobile home, and I got in that mobile home, little old me, and drove all the way to Victoria. And we've been up to New South Wales. All by myself and my dog. So this is a girl that didn't nobody thought would be able to do anything by herself. But I can. At 70 years old, I can do it. Now, all my life, God has been there. All my life. And in every single one of your lives, he's been there. He's still there. He's touching your life. I've seen my children just come to love God so much. Just waiting for my youngest one to get the message yet. But she's going to get it. My family are all involved with church. My dad became an elder of Sturt Street Church and got involved in lots of different things. But one of the main books that really helped me, and I recommend this to anybody who's struggling with life and mental health, which we all know, everybody gets mental health at different times, is Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind. Now, it's a very easy read, but it is an exceptionally good read at identifying those things and those lies that people believe, like I believed. And, of course, those lies make your life the way it is, because if you believe something, you're going to... Like, for example, I believed I couldn't do anything. Well, I still think, oh, I can't do anything, but I'll tell you a secret. That's my excuse now. Because God told me I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me according to his purpose. So if that's the truth, I can't do anything. It's a lie. And there's so much more that I could tell you about, but I just noticed it's well past my time and everybody wants to have a cup of tea, but I did want two sessions to talk about it. But I love God. I am so in love with God that every night I get on my bed and I read my Bible and I study it and I just get engaged with it. I get engaged in my prayer life. It's just so important, because those are the things that got me through the dark times. It doesn't matter if I just sit outside, I just start talking to God. Everybody here is so loved by God. One of the verses Hattie bought me as a present, which I was the reason I named my dog Zephaniah, was Zephaniah 3:17. You know, my God's a warrior. He loves me. And do you know what else he does? He sings over me. My God sings over me. You know, that's amazing. God just loves us so much. So anyway, I'll shut up now. But thank you for listening. It's just a joy to be with God. And like Eric said, and like Matthew said, and like even Caleb has said, it is a joy. God is so precious in your life. Don't neglect him. Every time you get in there and you read your Bible, get engaged, absolutely engaged. He's the love of your life. He's a mighty warrior. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.